The question today is, what is God like? And this is part number 9. And we're looking and kind of recapping the names, the main names that God has translated for God and Lord. The word Elohim is God, is translated God, which means the strong one. The word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is Jehovah, who's the one who wants to reveal himself to mankind. God Almighty, which is El Shaddai. He's the one who wants to pour himself in the life of a believer, and the believers, those that even believe that God is, that's been awakened from sin, that one that's turned from the broad way to the narrow way, and therefore we call him a seeker. God Almighty pours himself in the life of a believer, and may we come to the place that we can cry out like Abraham did after about 41 years of going through turmoil, I guess you could say, of up and down and in and out and frustration and not fully understanding everything from the time he left Ur of Chaldees till he got the point of salvation. But he called him Lord Adonai, which means complete submission, as best I know how. So we need to do that and come to that place. Now, we want to look at some more names that reveal the person and character of our Lord. And this tells us what God's like. And in the New Testament, in the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32, of course, there's a long, lengthy passage there. I'll not read every bit of that today, but the word despotes is a New Testament Greek word there that's translated Lord with a, of course, in the New Testament you have most of your translations is all big L, little O-R-D. But this word means an absolute ruler. It refers to one who has unlimited authority over his family and home, one who exercises his power without legal restrictions. And that's what a king does even today. And this is talking about the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Despotes. And of course, the setting of this in Luke chapter 2 is where Simeon, in other words, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he did not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. And when they brought Jesus there to be dedicated in the temple, Simeon come in, and by the Spirit of the Lord, he came in and do as he would normally. When he lifted up in his arms, he blessed God. In other words, he's referring to, it's equal to Elohim of the Old Testament. And he said, Lord, despotes, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now he's got the small child there in his arms, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly what age he is, but he called him an absolute ruler. In other words, despotes, Lord. The word communicates God's unlimited power, his omnipotence, in other words, and absolute sovereignty. He's creator of all things, therefore owner and Lord of all things. And he called him that as he lay there as a babe in his arm. Incarnate God laid there, despotes, the Lord. The absolute sovereignty, sovereign one was there at that time. That tells us a little bit about the person and character of God. There's another word, El Olam, which means the everlasting God. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 23, it said, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, and that's Jehovah there, but he called him the everlasting God. That's El Olam. El Olam. Now, that's used three times, and words expresses the eternal duration of the being of God. Everlasting is a synonym for the Greek word for age or dispensation. Psalms 90, verse number 2 said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever there has formed the earth or the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so the word Hebrew word Olam is used in Scripture for two things. It's used of secret or hidden things. Isaiah 40, 28, he said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, El Olam, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, talking about the secret or the hidden things. Now, in the New Testament time, that's called a mystery, but because there's so much back there that was hidden. It talks about the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the church. So, El Olam, Olam is used of the, in the Scripture of the of secret or hidden things, but it's also used of an indefinite time or age. Therefore, the idea of things kept secret or indefinite duration are combined in this word. Both ideas exist in the doctrine of the dispensations or the ages. Now, folks, the Bible really gives you two dispensations in Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about times past and last days. They center around the cross. Now, men have divided it into several different dispensations, and that's okay as long as you understand that men are not saved seven different ways. They're saved only one way. Before the cross, they had to look to the cross, believing in a coming Redeemer. They may not have understood fully, but they offered their sacrifices, believing that the coming Redeemer, well, these sacrifices pictured the supreme sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. In some way, some form, they believed that. And if they offered that sacrifice and believed that sacrifice would save them, they died and they went to hell. Just like on this side of the cross, a man sees the picture and utilizes the picture in a sense of baptism, which is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if man puts his faith in baptism, he'll die, he'll go to hell. Because that's only a picture showing what happened at the cross. Our faith must be embedded in the object of faith, the Lord Jesus, who's the supreme sacrifice, who died on the cross of Calvary. So it matters not what dispensation is, but when, what time is, men are saved the same way, Old Testament and New Testament, by grace, through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this crowd that tries to tell you they're saved one way here and one way there, that's not so. Don't listen to them or anything else they've got to say, because they're wrong on salvation, they're wrong on everything else, and they don't even deserve to be listened to. You see, these dispensations are among the mysteries of God. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9 and 10, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So you see, the everlasting God, El Olam, is therefore that name of deity and virtue of which He's the God, where wisdom has divided all time and eternity into the mystery of successive ages or dispensations. In Daniel chapter 2, verse number 47, we know that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't even remember the dream. And Daniel had to tell him the dream, and he interpreted that dream. After he did, the king answered, and Daniel 2:47 answered under Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. So you see, it's not merely that He is the everlasting, but He is the God over everlasting things. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 16, verse number 25, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So we see then, El Olam means the everlasting God. And then other names that we look at, going to look a little bit about, it shows the person and character of what God's like, how He works, how He operates, is the compound names of God. There's Jehovah Sabaoth. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible said, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Notice he said he sacrificed unto the Lord of hosts. That's Jehovah Sabaoth. That's the warring name of God. It properly denotes armies or military hosts organized for war. It refers to the unseen realities of the angels, who are represented as arrayed in military order under their commander and king, the Lord, or Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But He's the Lord of hosts. It communicates the idea as the sovereign king, whose reign and dominion are above every force or army upon the earth and in the heavens. In other words, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1 through 5, we'll not read that right now, the story about that, it was talking about Isaiah had a vision. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting up on the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now, as we think about that, many people of that day were looking to Uzziah. Uzziah had leprosy, and they didn't know what was going to happen to their government. They were looking to the government, but Isaiah was looking higher than the government. He lifted up his eyes, and he saw a vision, if you please, different than ever before. And when he saw, got a good look at the Lord, the Bible said in verse 5 of Isaiah 6, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, if you please. And many people today are looking to the next election and wonder what's going to happen. Don't worry about the armies of this world. Don't worry about the armies of Iran and those other places today. And listen, we need to look to God because He's Jehovah Sabaoth. He's the one in control. Paul uses this word in Romans 9:29 in the New Testament when he said, as Isaiah has said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth hath left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. In other words, he's quoting Isaiah 1:9, where he said, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now notice he translated it in the English New Testament, Lord of Sabaoth, and that's the Lord of hosts. In other words, and that's used, that word Jehovah Sabaoth is used many times in the writings of the prophet. In fact, about 230 times. And he's really presented two primary ways as Jehovah Sabaoth. He's presented as defender or deliverer of his people against their enemies. In Isaiah chapter 31, verse number 4 and 5, he said, For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when the multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Mount Zion, of course, today stands for the church of the living God. So he says, in essence, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He goes on to say in Isaiah 31:5, he said, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. So therefore, it means protection. It means fighting for for the people. For instance, you go back and read the story in the Old Testament about Elisha, and a young servant was with him who was waiting on him as a servant. And the people of Syria had surrounded them. And the servant had went out and said, there's more of them than there is of us. But whenever he come back, Elisha said, go look a second time. The second looks better than the first. And he opened, and he said, Lord, open his eyes. And when he saw then, he saw the chariot and the horsemen of Israel round about them. And he came back and said, glory to God, there's more of us than there is of them. Why? He saw the Lord of hosts, revealed himself to it. You see, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Is what it amounts to. In the Six-Day War in 67, they asked the people, they defeated them quickly. Israel did, and the people of Jordan said more or less, some of them did, somebody said that. Where'd you get your horses and chariots? They had none, but the Lord of hosts fought for his people, and that's what he does over and over again. The Lord Jehovah Sabaoth. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.